It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 567. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. Have no voicemails tonight. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and we have the wiki at mtswiki.com. Want to wish everybody a happy new year. This is the final Mike Tech Show of 2015. I'm recording this live at 10 p.m. on December 31st, Thursday night. So it fell on a regular show night, so which was great. To everybody in the chat who's joined me, hopefully you'll hang out for the very long post show, which has become a tradition. I normally play music and interact with everybody till 3 or 4 a.m. So we're going to ring in the new year across the country for the four time zones. I want to wish everybody a healthy, happy, and safe 2016. May you get everything that you desire and that you and your families are healthy and safe and that you have a prosperous new year. I know my 2015 was the best that's ever happened for my MHS consulting company. Phenomenal. I've been doing great. I now have people working for me. I have a service that now not only takes the messages for me, but they actually do diagnostics and help with solve problems. And you can find more about that when I'm going to be a guest at IT Jetpack. And the link will be in the show notes on Monday, January 4th. Tune in about 11:30. Go to the website beforehand and make sure you sign up. You are going to really like this. I'm a guest where we're going to be talking about how my tech repair business almost failed. That's right. Corey from Instant House Call is going to talk about his stories. I'm going to share my stories of lessons learned. Very valuable. Try to make it if you can, and it'll be a lot of fun. And that whole series is geared to the small business owner of a tech business or consulting business where you are going to learn a lot. I learn something every week. I learn something from every email that I get. I love this, and that's why I enjoy sharing the stories with you, which I'm going to get to in a second. I got a lot of stories from the trenches. I only got a handful of emails tonight, but I will cover them. What a way to start out the new year. I did a walkthrough of a brand new dental office that's being built. My proposal was accepted this week, and I got to meet with the contractor. Things are already, the rooms are all roughed out, but they're not finished. That's the time to bring in your IT person. I met with the electrician who's going to be doing all the wiring. Great guy. We went over the diagrams, did a walkthrough of exactly what we want. Where do we want the fax line? Where do we want all the voice and data lines? Where do we want the cameras? Talked about the alarm system, talked about everything that is related to IT and covered it all. I am excited. It's a great client. I'm also looking forward to a couple new opportunities this year. Something that happened in December, unlike any other month and any other years past, a lot of clients purchased hardware and had me provide hardware. You wouldn't believe the amount of systems that my son and I have been configuring just nonstop. And I got to order some. I have a special portal with my supplier that I can place my orders with a Dell premium account, and I'm going to be ordering more workstations, Optiplexes. It was staggering just how many people needed laptops, needed new desktops. Had a desktop fail that was sort of 4 or 5 years old, so it was right on the bubble for one of my retainer clients. The processor fan failed and another fan failed, and I'm concerned about the motherboard. So there was a lot of failures on the Dell Diagnostics. I talked to the owner, and he said, you know what, Mike, scrap it. Can you get all the data? I said, absolutely. There was nothing wrong with the hard drive. So I have a new system coming. Literally, I've been tracking it on FedEx, and it's going to be delivered on Saturday. And I'm going to restore all the data. I used Fab's auto backup, backed it all up, and no problem, grabbed all the settings. And I'm now waiting for the new system, pop it all back on. And again, this is Windows 7 Pro. I am still rolling out Windows 7 because most of the offices and the corporate accounts that I have, they cannot go to Windows 10 yet because we have not vetted all of their applications and all the devices. I have two offices that were ready to roll in January. I'm going to be scheduling the Windows 10 rollout because we've done one test system, identified what we, you know, found the problems areas, resolved them, and now we're ready to go. And that's what you have to do. Take one system in an office, use that as the guinea pig, and test doing a Windows 10 upgrade. See how it goes. Learn as much as you can about the apps and all the printers and devices in the office. Then, and only then, if everything's fine, do you begin a rollout of the rest of the systems. So I've got two companies ready to go. And let me tell you, a lot more behind them. It's going to be very, very busy. 2016, the first 6 months, it's going to be lots of Windows 10 upgrades and testing. And then hopefully continuing to get new business. I'm very excited about that because that keeps the company growing. That's something I'm kind of hoping for the new year. I would like to bring on another tech or two just to give me more bandwidth. I need to spend more time developing new opportunities and not the day-to-day maintenance and the day-to-day working on the systems. And I need to have other techs do that, and I need to be bringing in new accounts. So right in the middle of recording this podcast, my system locked up. First, the chat said they lost video, then they lost audio, then they lost video. And then when I tried to restart Ustream Producer, the whole system locked up. Now, this could be remnants of my next story. On Tuesday morning, when I got up, I noticed when I got down to my computer, Outlook wouldn't work. I'm like, there was no PST files. I'm like, how could there be no PST files? Now, the layout of my system, my C drive is a 512 gig Samsung SSD, but my D drive is a 3 terabyte Barracuda that I use for all of my data. I have all my PSTs, all my invoices, all my documents. Then I have two other 3 terabyte drives that are just kind of wasted, like junk drives that I can put things I download that I don't care about. Well, the D drive totally failed. Thank God. And this is why you back up. You always back up. I had Shadow Protect. There was a backup that failed the night before, so I had Sunday night's backup. I didn't have Monday night's because it must have failed before the backup. My backup happens at 4 a.m. It failed sometime between when I went to bed and 4 a.m. I restored everything to the 3 terabyte drive. I deleted the junk that's on there, and that 3 terabyte drive was drive letter K. I completely restored everything to K. Then I changed the drive letter in administrative tools, computer management. Then you go to disk management, pick the disk, right click. I changed the drive letter to the letter D. So this way my system, everything that's set pointing to D will still work. And that's exactly what happened. And I noticed, I'm wondering, I didn't physically remove that other drive. And I wondered if it was, if it's trying to come back and it's a conflict, and then my system will see two D drives. I don't know what's going on, but I know this weekend I got to make sure I know which one is the one that failed, and I got to yank it out of the computer, just physically get it out of the computer. So there could be remnants that I'm seeing tonight for the first time doing a show after this drive failure and recovery. But I was able to recover and not lose anything. I luckily did not create any documents on Monday. This is the problem. If you don't do backups during the day, you could lose 24 hours. So me, I lost 24 hours, but mail is going through Google Apps. So I have all mail that is sent and received in Gmail. So that's easy. So then I just use Outlook to pick all that up. I just kept going. It was great. I did the restore while I went to go to a client and then came back. Everything was fine. Life is good. I didn't sweat it at all. When my drive failed, if you know you got good backups, you don't panic. You don't worry. And it takes the stress and the worry away from you if you know you got good backups. Had to tell that story. I forgot about it until I locked up here. I still think there's some remnants of that that I got to uncover, and I'll work on that this weekend. I'm going to use Fab's Auto Backup to finish off that system. Then I have another computer that's actually being staged behind me that was a second one that there's a historical society that has hired me to help them upgrade because they haven't touched any systems in years and years and years and years. I've seen some significantly old hardware. I mean real old. And I can't believe they were still working even. And the one system, I was going to try to upgrade the Windows 7 because it was a Core 2 Duo, so it was right there on the cusp. There was one that was just too old to upgrade. We did that. The server was a Pure server, just, oh, it was so bad. XP, really, really old. And they don't have a lot of data. So I got a nice little Synology SAN. Well, two drives, it's mirrored, and then, of course, an external disk for backing that up. Set that all up. They gave me the one system to take back here to my home office, and they were going to see if they could get the budget approved to get a new computer. Luckily, they got it approved. So I was either going to get a go to buy a new computer or try to upgrade this computer and make it livable. I'm so glad they opted for getting the new computer. That's being set up behind me right now, and that'll be ready for next week for delivery. I got two laptops that had to be repaired that my son is delivering to a consignment shop on Saturday. Question in the chat about backups. Is all of my music backed up? Absolutely. My music resides on several places. Let me explain, because I have too much music. I have everything on my iMac, which is backed up to an external drive. So there's two places right there. All of the music is replicated on my NAS for everybody in the house to share, and then that's backed up. So my music is in four locations because I have invested just way too much. I have a half a terabyte of music, of MP3s and waves and FLAC, and I just mostly I convert everything to an MP3 that I can use in Soundbite for the post shows. Too much time is invested into that. Uncle Al just asked that question in the chat, so yes, I take the music library that I have so seriously that it's not only the four locations. Oh, there's a fifth I just thought of, and this brings up an interesting topic. The fifth is Apple Match. So all of my music is matched in the cloud, in the Apple cloud, for all of my music, which then I can get to via any Apple device that I have in the Apple ecosystem. Now, this leads to a couple things. Christmas, I received the new Apple TV. Hooked that up in like 2 seconds. It's running great. Also, we talked about this in the pre-show, and you don't know this if you're just listening to the audio of this. I got a new chair, and since it's new, it's a really, really nice big chair. It's higher up, So it's a different position that everybody's seeing me with on the camera tonight. And it feels weird even. I'm a little higher up, and now it's a longer reach to the keyboard. But I will say this, it's saving my neck, because now I'm not looking up at the monitors. I'm looking straight, and it's more of a natural height. And I'm at the lowest setting on the chair, so I'm glad I can't go any lower, because I probably shouldn't. So I got the chair, and I got one other big item. Santa treated me very well this year. A wine refrigerator. It's small, but it's perfect. It can do 28 bottles. There's two shelves at one temperature, which I use for white, and I set that at 50 degrees. The rest, since I'm more of a red, I wouldn't say connoisseur, but I enjoy red wine more than anything else. The rest of the rows are all red, and I keep that at a temperature of 65. That was a great gift. I had that hooked up in minutes on Christmas morning, and the wine all from the wine rack. I don't have a lot of wine, but I have enough that it should be kept at the proper temperatures. I know there's lots of debates online at what you should have red at, what you should have white at. I like, if I'm going to drink the white, I want that much, much colder. And if I, since I love red, I want that warmer, and it should be kept at a constant temperature. And in the post show tonight, we will be testing one of the reds. And that, of course, is after the champagne at New Year's. Let's get back to some more stories. You know, I just thought of something. Had my system crashed years ago, I was recording on the same system. Now, since I offloaded the recording, I didn't lose a beat at all. Nothing. And I just was able to pick up. I just paused on my MacBook Pro, which is connected right to the mixer, and everything's fine. Interesting. Something I'm going to change during the new year. I invested, and I talked about it once. I have a really nice audio digital recorder that I purchased in the hopes of taking that to remote when I do any kind of a remote, and it's much smaller to carry and it can hook microphones. It's like carrying a mini audio studio that's very tiny. And I'm going to hook that up and have that also recording the audio for any show that I'm doing. That's something I want to implement. You might remember the story of the triple monitor that I hooked up for a new client, my son and I. And my son, mainly because he had the electric screwdriver and was, I helped with the monitors. Let me tell you something. When you're doing three monitors that are all 24-inch, and it's the Mono Price triple monitor stand, which is gorgeous. You put one monitor in the middle, and then there's only one stand that's very heavy, and then two long arms that protrude from the right and the left of the main stand, and you mount the monitors on the two sides. This is not easy to assemble, and it is a three-man job. It took my son, me, and my client to get this set up. Once we set up, it's the most gorgeous thing in the world. Anybody I showed this picture to, it is just insanely jealous. This is what you want when you have three monitors. But here's one of the gotchas. We were over at my client's home office to do some additional work. While we were there, she said, you know, guys, I would like the whole thing to be a little lower. It's just a little too high. So what did we do? My son goes back. I go back, he starts, he gets the Allen wrench and starts screwing. Well, guess what? The whole thing drops down. We are so lucky that none of the monitors broke. To get that back up took all three of us about an hour to get that all readjusted. The lesson, once you get it set, you don't want to change this thing. And if you do, use three people. One on the Allen wrench and two holding one on each arm, balancing that, making sure it doesn't move, and you got to move together if you're raising or lowering it. It is not easy. We got it to where my client's happy, but there was some nervousness and some pain and suffering for about an hour in order to get that working. So I just wanted to share that. It was beautiful once you get it set up, but boy, if you got to make adjustments like that, that was too major of an adjustment to lower the whole thing. She is ecstatic. Why don't we get to emails? I have great stories for projects that I've lined up already for 2016, and all that's going to do is lead to incredible stories from the trenches, so stay tuned for them, and I will continue to share my experiences with my clients, the good, the bad, the ugly, so you can learn from the lessons that I'm learning. First link is from Joe, and a quick apology from Tech Vets. I called him John when Carrie and I were talking, and I don't know why John popped in my head, but Joe, I'm sorry. I've met Joe at all the meetups. He came to Philly area, to Fort Washington for Mike Tech Show 5, Show 500, came to Arizona for the meetup in Arizona, and he came to Chicago because his son lives close by to Chicago, and we actually hung out. Joe and I snuck away one night to that great hot dog place too. Joe sent this in, and he owns the company Cyber On-Site Services. I wanted to give him a shout out because great guy. Thank you for being a friend and a longtime listener of the show. I appreciate it. He sent me a link to a video from Channel 9, and this is MSDN, and it's a describing from Microsoft's point of view, the two browsers and why they have them and what one does versus the other. Why do they still have IE11 and the Edge browser? You get some real insight into the history of browsing and what you can do, what you can't do, why they have this. Very interesting, like about 20 minutes. You should absolutely look at that. Joe, thank you for that link, and that will be in the show notes. This is from Terry, and he's from Arizona. I was not clear in my previous email about verifying a Microsoft account. I kind of got confused and messed it up. I think it's my fault. I logged my friend into the Windows 10 computer with his Hotmail account, which is his Microsoft account. Since he had never logged into that computer before Microsoft and wants him to verify the account. The same thing happens to me when I log into another Windows 8 or 10 computer with my Hotmail account. Microsoft will send me a verification code to my phone or a code to my alternate email. That's why you should always make sure you use a cell number for verification that can accept text messages. It makes it so much easier for getting a code for verifying. I then have to enter the code to verify that it is really me logging in. I guess this is a two-factor authentication. Yes, that's exactly what it is. I have three Windows 8/10 computers and had to do this every time on my first login to a new machine. He's absolutely correct. That's exactly what we all have to do. My friend's problem was that his alternate email for his Microsoft account was unknown to him. He can still log into his computer, but his Microsoft account is not yet verified. Thanks again for everything you do. Wow, I get it. I'm wondering, it was almost better to like create a whole new account with Microsoft and a Gmail account, but then you have to have another alternative account. I understand. And that's the problem when you create an account. Like I did this once. I forget what website it was. I didn't realize that years ago I created an account because I went to go back in all of a sudden and I thought it was the first time. And I have a unique email address for my personal email and it said, oh, you already have an account. Now, luckily, it was the right email, and I could say, okay, let's reset the password, send the verification, and then I get the email, and I log in, and then if it asks you a security question, you cross your fingers and hope that it's a security question that you know the answer to, which leads to a topic here quickly. Don't use false answers for the security questions, because you're going to get caught up in that and you're not going to know what fib you told or what you answered. You want to be as truthful as possible. The first car that you owned. Well, that can only be one answer, or if you've never driven. Now, I don't like questions like your favorite teacher, because I don't really have one that I would use all the time, but I know the city I met my wife in. I know the city I got married in. I know, you know, there's lots of questions, and you want to hope that you can pick a question that you can answer truthfully, that you're going to know for the rest of your life, that if you ever have to use that security question, you're going to know it. So I know a lot of people are of the just answer everything a color, blue, and remember that it's blue. Well, you know what? 2 years from now, you may not remember that. I like to stay as honest as possible, so this way I have a fighting chance of remembering. I run into this a lot with clients where they don't know the password. Great example, that historical society, they purchased a valid Windows 7 key, and this is a not-for-profit, so there's special areas on Microsoft volume licensing site. They didn't know the account name and password. They didn't know the account name and password from the place that they purchased it, which then sent it on to Microsoft, which then they had to log into. It took hours. Now, we were doing other work at the time. It took hours for them to trace and recover and be able to get in to an account where we could get the valid Microsoft Windows product key that they legitimately purchased. Just another example of making sure you securely document. And there's lots of places, there's lots of great software that you can store your passwords and protect them. Even if it's a spreadsheet, like an Excel spreadsheet, put your passwords in there and then password protect that with your master password that you'll never forget for as long as you live. That's usually when I'm setting the admin password at someone's router. I will say, I need an 8-character password that you, 10 years from now, I'm going to ask you, what is your favorite password? What is that? And you're going to be able to just spit it right out. And that's the password I always use for a client, you know, and then I will lock that down and protect it on my end when I can. And I try to track as many as I can. And it's very, very hard, because when you get so many clients, there's so many passwords. The ones I care about more are the devices and the servers. Other than that, I don't care about user passwords all the time, you know, for their system, and they can change it whenever they want. If I need to remote in, I'm going to talk to them. Hey, did you change your password? What is it? And then use that to be able to log in. This is from Will. Windows 8.10 App Store workaround. Here we go. Thanks so much for your help in trying to resolve two recent issues that I have. I was listening to the 1217 show regarding using a Microsoft account versus a local user account. I agree with you that if you are using a lot of Microsoft software like Office 365, it's easiest to just use the Microsoft account. I have quite a few clients that absolutely don't want to use a Microsoft account, but do want to play Solitaire, which is only available from the App Store. The solution is to create a local user account on the computer. I then create a Microsoft account for my client. Well, see, you still had to create a Microsoft account. The client can get their much beloved Solitaire games as well as any other apps they want, but they retain a local user account. You and your show has done so much to help me with my business. I'm delighted to finally be able to contribute something back. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and all your listeners. Warm regards, Will. Will, thank you very, very much. Windows 10. I am trying to find your Windows 10 tweaks, but can't find them. Can you help? Well, I have not put together that master download. At least I don't remember. My Windows 10 tweaks have been sort of built along the way. There was one show when Windows 10 came out, a while ago, where I put together, it was sort of a mixed list of a couple companies online. Might have been some PC World and maybe Maximum PC and some other things. Then I threw a couple of mine in for some tweaks. I will dig that PDF up and relink it. So that was like a combination of me and some things that I put together from online. I think that's the one you're talking about. I'll make sure it's linked. This is from Brandon. .NET 3.5 Windows 10. Had a bit of trouble getting this to install in Windows 10 as well. The only way I have been able to do it successfully is using DISM, D-I-S-M, and a Windows 10 installation media from an elevated command prompt. That's when you type CMD and you right-click and run that as administrator. DISM space slash online space slash enable dash feature slash feature name, which was netfx3, then slash all slash source colon D colon backslash sources slash SXSS, and then another slash limited access. There's no way you're going to remember that. I am going to link this to an article that'll describe this, where D is whatever drive letter your source files are currently using. I'm sure a quick Google search of installing .NET Framework 3.5 with DISM will get a more detailed explanation, but you get the gist. Thank you for your show. Thank you so much for that. I have not ran into that yet, but I know I will, and that's a great fix. I've had to run DISM for other things. You know what? That's it for the final show of 2015. I want to thank all of you for a great year of using my Amazon link. Please, in the new year, continue to use it. Amazon.micnation.net. You've made a big difference in supporting the show by continuing to use my link. A phenomenal job again for December. I so appreciate that. Thank you so much. Please share that. Abuse it. Use it. Amazon.micnation.net. I want to thank my sponsor, Instant House Call, for being there with me all year, supporting the show, supporting Tech Vets. I appreciate that. I bow to them, and they have such a wonderful product that I use daily. And you know from the heart when I talk about a product. Fabs Auto Backup for Tech 6 Pro, I use that almost every day. The business tool, the business kit from Bryce over at Tech Nibble. If you have any business at all that is tech related and you need any kind of forms or contract language, that's the great business kit that you need. And I link that every week in my show. And I thank them for being such great affiliates. And I'm proud to talk about those products because I use them. And I use them for supporting all of my clients. I want to thank everybody for supporting the show, downloading and staying subscribed. I wish you all a great 2016, and I look forward to being back here next Thursday night, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.